Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard, a change and transformation consultant and self-confessed fintech enthusiast. And today, we continue our series looking at the evolution of fintech in 2023.
And super excited to have a good friend on the show, Roger. Roger is out in Amsterdam. He's the CEO of PCN, doing some really great stuff in the recruitment space. Welcome today, Roger.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Great to have you. Let's kick off with a question actually that I'm asking everyone right now. What excites you? What excites you about 2023 and fintech in 2023?
That was a very good question. I think in general, I think fintech as a whole has always been exciting. I think ever since I started working in the space about 10 years ago, and it's never disappointed. So I think 2023 is probably going to be a year in which we see some change. I think we'll also see some companies potentially buying other companies, some M&A activity going on. I think there'll be some investments in fields more, such as embedded finance, which is really hot at the moment. So yeah, in general, I think it's just going to be an exciting time.
Cool. And, you know, as we dig into today's conversation for everyone out there, we're going to be talking about talent and recruitment and what you look out for. Roger is an expert in that area. So let's kick off the discussion. And, you know, how do you see fintechs right now attracting and engaging talent? What are the tools and maybe even the new methodologies that are out there right now that fintechs are using?
Yeah, I think it's super relevant because it's an interesting market, right? Across to several, if not all industries, but also definitely in fintech, there's a shortage of skilled people, and there's just so much jobs and not enough candidates for it. So fintech companies are trying to engage and retain talent in different ways, I think, some of which are similar to what they were before, but they just put more emphasis on it. So what you see now also spun and I think accelerated by the likes of COVID is that companies more and more look at secondary benefits such as working from home, working remote, working from anywhere, those kind of things. They try to offer long-term incentive plans such as equity. You see them being now faster or have a more agile hiring process because indeed when a candidate is open or is speaking to a company, they're always speaking to at least one or two other companies. So I think speed is of the essence. So you see much faster hiring processes. Companies really working and investing on their employer and brands more than they were before. They give L&D budgets to show that they want to help develop other people. You see big pay rises as well, especially in engineering. So candidates being counter-offered by their current employer, even just to retain them by sometimes two times their current salary or 50% of an increase. So that is huge. I think that there's also a slight concern there. But yeah, in general, there's different approaches, more aggressive than others. But it is really important right now to think that companies invest into attracting and engaging their talent.
Cool. And what about from a marketing perspective? I mean, the attraction and engagement, can that also be pulled in from, you know, the brand, the message, communication that the leaders in these businesses send out into the public?
Absolutely. I think it's important that companies capitalize on the personal brand of their leaders, but not just also their leaders. I think also their individual contributors and their general employees, because they will have much further reach than just the company basis itself. So yes, of course, companies should be vocal about what it is that they're trying to do and about their brands. But I think they have a lot of good people with a lot of following within the company that they can capitalize on their personal brand for.
Oh, I like it. And, you know, it's been an interesting few months, interesting 12 months in the fintech space. I mean, I think there's been a few bruised egos, maybe some bloody noses, you know, some people that have maybe not got exactly what they planned for at the start of the year. But that being said, what have you seen over the last 12 months? What do you think has anything changed drastically in the building of this ecosystem and the building of the fintechs? What changes have you seen out there over the last 12 months as we head into 2023?
Right, it's certainly been interesting. I think it's a bit of an up and down, right? 12 months ago, the state of the market was totally different from where it was, I think, right now, in terms of there was still booms, I think, across the fintech space, including the buy now, pay later boom was very much going on. I think in the past 6 months, we've seen, unfortunately, Klarna started with that, but we've seen quite some layoffs, not just in buy now, pay later, but also in other parts of the fintech industry. I'd say that BNPL kind of boom is now over. And as I said at the beginning, embedded finance is really now on the rise, I think, since the last couple of months, where you see companies having more and more interest also from the VCs. Yeah, the skill shortage still remains. So even though there's been layoffs, you would say, okay, that would potentially flood more talent on the market, which has certainly happened, but not enough to fight up against the increased demand for skilled people. So I wouldn't say, I'd say the most prudent development over the past 12 months has been that there's been now layoffs. Some talk about the potential recession coming up. Some say, no, that's not going to be the case. I mean, if I would be able to tell that, then I'd be a rich man right now. So we'll see. But I think there's still areas which are very hot right now. I think it's just a shift in what those areas might have been.
You mentioned skill shortage a couple of times. So let's just dive into there for a second. What do you think are the makeups of this? And on the back of that, how can these skill shortages be addressed?
Well, I think the main reason is because there's been over the last, I'd say, since COVID, a huge flood or influx of VC capital coming into the market. Interest rates were low, so borrowing money was very cheap. And when companies get extra funding, that is almost always used for hiring additional people, the majority of those people being on the engineering side. So I think that has mainly spun the kind of skill shortage. There's still companies who have had recent raises before the interest rates went up. So there's still money in the market that is being used right now. I think those VCs will probably start deploying money again really soon if they are not already. How it to be addressed? I think what I think is important is that executives invest more or look at the long tail. So yeah, of course, hiring a skilled engineer or hiring a skilled worker right now can do the job and start tomorrow, hit the ground running is ideal. But I think we shouldn't forget is that there's also a lot of skilled people coming out of university that if they are offered the right traineeship or training track, then they can probably be very good employees as well. But that requires a bit of a long tail approach.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now. Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
I like what you're saying there, and it leads into it's a nice segue into what we're going to be discussing now, which is around, you know, executives out there, leaders out there, and the mindset that they maybe should be deploying when it comes to thinking about recruiting, thinking about talent. How would you, as a talent finder, as a recruiter, leading your own business, how would you like executives to think about recruiting, think about hiring talent?
Yeah, so I mean, in my experience, they already see it as an integral part of their success, right? Hiring the right talent, being able to hire the right talent and willing to invest in hiring that talent. However, I think they sometimes don't realize that the way that they operate during the interview process sets the tone for the way that they do business and how candidates can view them as a potential employer. For example, if processes take months and months and months, then candidates might question if that is the way that they that the decision making process is like within such a company. And if a company keeps pitching about how much of a startup they are and how agile they are and how fast they are in decision making, but then the interview process is not like that, I think that doesn't do any good. So I think that's really important to emphasize. Okay, well, if we are serious about a candidate, let's make sure that we show that we are serious by speeding up their process. And yeah, I can't say it enough, but I think focus on that long tail. So really invest in young talent, and not just by saying, yeah, we offer an L&D budget or there we have this L&D program. But I think look at banks, for example, or what FMCGs also do so well. They offer management traineeships where they give fresh graduates tracks of 2 to 4 years where every half year or every year they get into a different department, into a different role, get to know the organization really well. And then from there, decide which team they want to be in. And are kind of the future leaders of many of these businesses. I think that's something that we should probably can do a bit better at fintech. It's an exciting industry to be part of. I think there's a lot of people who want to be part of it. Fintech is very sexy, but I'm not sure that it's the same. There's such an easy way to get into it when you come out of university as there is maybe for other industries.
Yeah, true. Building a pipe that attracts talents and nurtures that talent through the system. And you know, as you look further ahead, what do you think as this talent comes in, and as you know, not just the junior talent, but the senior talents, the mid senior talent, the executives, as they come in to the fintechs, what are leaders doing right now or thinking about doing to make certain that this talent sticks around, stays, is part of the mission, is part of that build on a continuous basis rather than 6 months to a year, they're off to the next gig?
So, yeah, I think it's by, like I said at the beginning, by having long-term incentive plans, but it's also recognizing employees for the good that they do. Whether that is internally or maybe even also externally. It's investing in your employer brand. Again, people want to be part of a company that they can be proud of, that their friends may know of, that are seen for having the way that they go about doing their business is setting an example for other companies as well. Think of the Spotify model, for example. The way that they've set that up is exemplary for other companies, not just because we know Spotify and everyone has Spotify on their phone, but also that the way that they operate as a business is great. And of course, it's harder to create a Spotify for maybe a B2B business, but even then they might be used as an example because of the way that they operate. And I think with all the access we have through social channels, again, through personal brands, we have so much avenues to go down on to be vocal about what it is that we're trying to do as a company, and therewith make it a place to want to work for many people and to want to stay for a long term. But I think also there's a lot of talk about engaging employees, about simple things as team building events and all that. I think we shouldn't forget is that engaging their spouses, their friends, their family is just as important, right? If you increase the engagement with that second circle and they start to talk about what a great place it is that their spouse is working at, then you're really creating that engagement and retaining that talent because then there is more eggs in the basket of, okay, I'm going to stay at this company because my friends say it's a great place and they remember that company outing they've been at, or they keep talking about that lunch we had with the team and stuff like that. So I think those are some things that I am seeing or think we can be seeing more of in order to retain talent.
Nice. And you know, as we wrap up this session, how do you see recruitment playing out into 2023 in the fintech space? What are some of the big themes you think might be coming out? And also, do you see the continuation of fintechs going off and wanting to hire and continue to hire talent?
Yeah, so I think the same challenges will remain, to be honest, as in 2022. What I'm expecting is that probably the VCs toward the end of this year, towards the next year, will buy in and deploy more money on the back of lower valuations. And with that money, again, there will be more hiring being done. But yeah, we can't mold people out of clay. So we'll still be fighting for the same type of talent. And therefore, I expect that kind of shortage to still exist. I also think that probably inflation will start to be translated more into salaries. We've not seen that much of it yet, but I think that will be a big topic next year, not just in fintech, but throughout. And yeah, like I said, I think employer brand and specifically personal brand is going to be more and more important in 2023.
Awesome, man. Thanks for joining us today. It's been awesome running through what you think is going to be happening in the fintech space, and specifically from a recruitment point of view. For those out there that want to get in touch with you guys, what's the best route?
Yeah, well, I mean, hit me up on LinkedIn. You can look at our website, teampcn.com, if you want to find more about our recruitment services specifically for the fintech space. But if you want to have a personal conversation, or just want to connect and keep in touch, then feel free to reach out on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Folks, so we'll be back next week with the series looking at FinTech in 2023. Look forward to challenging you then.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.